So thank you, David and Duncan, for such a great overview of the project. I wanted to basically tell you how could we work with so many journalists and what is happening now and what you guys can do, because there are many things happening in the world right now. As Duncan is saying, we ended up collaborating 86 journalists in 46 countries. That's the official figure. We are some more journalists working on this now. And I think that here we're discussing methods, we're discussing ways of investigating, we're discussing ways of crunching data, and we'll get into all that tomorrow, and this event is for this. But I think that this, there is one word that is key to this project, which is trust. I don't think the ICIJ could have been done this big collaboration without a network of journalists to trust. And the ICIJ has the advantage that it's already a network of journalists. We're 160 journalists in more than 60 countries that already work together. We've already shown what we can do and that we are trusted people, so that if I tell DC, Washington DC, that something is happening in Spain, I know what the standards are in Washington DC, and Washington DC understands I have already fulfilled my journalistic due diligence, right? As Duncan was saying, at the beginning, the project was very local. We were using tools like this that Duncan would describe tomorrow, that it's a program called Nuix that we got a license for free, and that allowed us to look at the unstructured data in a way our eyes could not do. But at some point, we needed to get stories out of this, as David said, and this without some local reporting doesn't make sense. What we did is, okay, let's get the data, let's do small packages to deliver to journalists all over the world, especially some lists, so local journalists could do the reporting. For example, in my case, I also did the reporting for Spain, and by looking at the list, I already spotted very big names, names that ended up being in the story. Of course, I had to do research on the other 68 names, but I knew immediately that there was a big art collector called Carmen Thyssen that is one of the big art collectors in Madrid, right? So by using my local knowledge, we were able to basically bridge that gap into what the data tells in a faster way. And also, it was a cheaper way of doing things. I mean, who can afford today 86 journalists in 46 countries? I'm not sure even if The Guardian would be able to pay for that. So it's a way of sharing and collaborating, trying to use a combined team of people working together and distributed in several countries of the world, right? So we ended up having some faces, and we ended up putting, as David said, a spotlight on this secrecy. These are kind of like the big numbers. We ended up having around 130,000 people in more than, having more than 122,000 entities in around 10 jurisdictions. As David said, islands that I had sometimes never heard of, like the Cook Islands, that apparently are actually at the opposite side of Spain. And it's very difficult to get things out of them, as David was saying, but really it's I have to share with you like what I had to do with the Spanish case, even if to contrast, to fact check the data. You call and you ask for information, and in the Cook Islands, the only thing they can tell you is if a company existed or exists, but they cannot tell you anything else. In some cases, it's actually even a crime to reveal any other information. To me, that was a shock, because I thought Spain was an opaque country, and then there are more opaque places, and then you get cases like we found here. Not only, for example, these are some of the faces, right? It's Carmen Thyssen, the big art collector to the left. Then we have famous people like Denise Richa. It's a famous singer from the US. To the right is the man that somehow sparked some change in Europe, because he's Jean-Jacques Sauger. He's the campaign treasurer of François Hollande, the president of France. And when we published this case in France, in Le Monde, basically that added up to another case that was already ongoing of the former finance minister of France, and to the point that basically 1 week after our investigation, François Hollande actually came to stage and said, we need to eradicate tax havens, because it basically the bubble had exploded in his face. And what are the main findings? Well, it's difficult to synthesize in several bullet points what we found over these 15 months. And I would encourage you to look at the stories in detail in the website of the ICIJ. But basically, we found this is happening all over. People from all over the world are using tax havens to obscure what they're doing. They own mansions, they own yachts, art masterpieces, other assets. They're hiding from people around them for legal or illegal reasons. We found that the banks are also in this. They are facilitators of this system. We have cases on UBS, on Clarendon, on Deutsche Bank, even BNP Paribas in France, or Crédit Agricole. And we also found that there is a whole structure of industry consultants and middlemen and operatives that actually are helping this secrecy exist. And to me, it's fascinating the fact that it's basically a black hole that we don't know anything about. And this is a problem that was known to many of the regulators, but that had been put aside. And it's now back into the political arena, at least for now, for good words, because of this project. And how did we collaborate and make it happen? Well, there were kind of like three rules. The ICIJ would share some of these big stories that we've been working on for a long time. And then the partners had to share their stories too. And we will all publish at the same time. The Guardian published at the beginning, but the idea is that we would all make the impact, quote unquote, at the same time, over a period of 2 weeks. So there was an embargo on the information. And we ended up publishing in many different outlets. You can see The Guardian there, The Washington Post, Le Monde. But basically the latest figures is that not only we had more direct partners and publishing partners in more than 30 countries, the latest figures is that there are 8,782 clips talking about the story worldwide, around 5,300 in Europe. So because we collaborated, because we shared, because we had this big expansion that basically expanded into the rest of the world. And since we're running out of time, and I just want to highlight basically what are some of the ramifications of this? What's the impact? What has happened? Well, there are many things happening, and I would encourage you to look at the full list of reactions and impact that we got from the story. But some of the key things that happened, well, the G20 that met some weeks ago pushed or said that there should be an automatic exchange of tax-relevant back information adopted in a global standard. For now, again, this is something that at least they've put on paper, and we'll see what happens afterwards. And the person that has been taking this more into heart is the European Commissioner on Taxation, who first issued a statement in the website, then joined the Irish Prime Minister, and then they did a letter to the 27 member states highlighting 7 key areas for immediate action to improve the fight against tax fraud, evasion, and avoidance. And what I like about this letter is that at some point they say, probably, maybe you cannot see it, but not only they highlight the 7, but they're actually basically saying that we must do more. We must do more, but some of the governments are turning to the ICIJ for the solution. So the government of the United States, the governments of Canada, South Korea, Germany, France, Greece, I've lost the count, have actually come to the ICIJ saying, give us the 260 gigabytes of data. We want the solution. And they think the solution is in the documents when we're just producing stories that put a spotlight on the issue, and policy is not what this data will bring. And there are 3 upcoming tax events, as I've called it, and that's where I leave it to you too, because I think it's for us journalists to keep reminding what this problem is. And there's the COFIN meeting in May 13th, the European Council May 22nd. They're both scheduled to talk about tax avoidance and tax evasion. And then there's the G8 meeting in London, June 17th and 18th. And it looks like tax is going to be on their tables too. So up to here for me. Thank you very much.